Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't mean this to be a sort of a beginning of a small science lesson, but if you, I invite you to look at the back of your hands. What do you see there? Do you, anybody see their veins? Yeah, yeah. You don't have to comment on that at all, but so those veins are going throughout our bodies, right? The heart is pumping the blood through them, having taken it through the lungs and oxygenating it, and then putting it out into our bodies so that our tissues can be fed with that oxygen and function well. All of our organs are in order because of that, and it's bringing that blood, that oxygen to that. Now, what makes blood red? Oxygen, we say oxygen, but actually it's the iron in it, right? The hemoglobin. That's fourth grade science. I don't know. So this is not a lesson, as I said, this is not a lesson in evolution, but rather an affirmation of the creation story from Genesis. I am saying that our earth and we are made of the same stuff as stars. We're told in the Bible that the earth was a formless void, and the Spirit of God, like a wind, swept over the chaos and brought order. That's the first chapter of Genesis. And then in the second telling of the creation story, in the second chapter of Genesis, we find that we're made of the dust of the earth. And the pastor of Royal Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, he contends that we are made of the same stuff as the stars. Makes sense, really, when you think about it. The same creator, the same stuff. In fact, it's been said that if a mineral is heavier than iron, it's been made in a supernova. In other words, we don't have an atom in our bodies that isn't the product of some dead star. It must have been stardust, the swirling stuff of exploding gas and dust that's flung into interstellar space as a dying star's core collapses. And Pastor Landrum from Royal Palms Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, always closes his services with this greeting: keep the sun in your eyes. Sun being spelled with an O. Keep the sun in your eyes. And what today's Epiphany text is saying to us is something similar. Keep the stars in your eyes. Wise men knew to follow a star in order to find the newborn child who was to be king of the Jews, was to become a great king. The baby Jesus opened his eyes and beheld the most brilliant of starlit nights shining down on his humble birthplace. The Son of God was born literally with stars in his eyes. The author of Revelation calls Jesus something that we don't usually, don't often call Jesus, but he refers to Jesus as the morning star. And as we seek to follow that morning star, I want us to realize that we too are made of that same stuff as stars. We are stars. Not like American Idol stars, but we're stars nonetheless. As we seek to follow Jesus, that morning star, we realize that as stars, then we enter into this constellation called the church. Our most localized constellation being Waterford Central Church. We're called to shine out for the sake of Jesus Christ. And while we seek to follow Jesus, as our eyes are on that morning star, may we realize that the eyes of the world are also on the church constellation. We are to become beacons of God's love, a testimony to Christ's life, and an example to all the world. And that's not always easy, is it? To be an example to the world. The journey of following Jesus, like the journey of those wise men 2,000 years ago, is not an easy journey. And sometimes you lose track. You lose track of the star. The wise men did. That's why they stopped and consulted King Herod, inquired of where the child was to be born, king of the Jews. Herod's chief priests and scribes knew the prophecy of that little town to their south, Bethlehem. So Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, asking that they bring him back news of the exact location of the child. When the wise men came out, they picked up on that star. Today we lose track of the star. We lose track of God's guidance in our lives because we fill our lives with so much else. The image I get is that of a telescope. Because we're trying to follow a star, but our hands are so full of other things that we can't lift the lens to our eyes to focus on the prize. We need to continually focus on what God wants for us. We need to receive God's blessing. And sometimes the blessing is there and we simply don't receive it. Sometimes we won't receive it. Have you ever met people who just can't celebrate a blessing? Hey, mister, you just want a new car. And his response is, well, it probably won't fit in my garage. Well, you won some cash too. Maybe you can build a new garage. He says, well, I don't know a reliable contractor. It goes on and on. Have you ever known people? My dad always used to say, they're just not happy unless they're complaining. Do you know people like that? Do you know people who just can't celebrate blessing in their lives? Sometimes we lose track of the star, and sometimes we are blocked from seeing the star. Certainly that is the case with Herod and the wise men. There's this obvious tension between Herod the king and Jesus the king. And while the image of the tyrant, jealous and intimidated, screaming death warrants and releasing the sword of the government against the innocent is disturbing, the message of Matthew must be heard and heard clearly. Good news has its enemies. Good news has its enemies. Matthew must speak truth. Jesus is the morning star, the light of the world, our hope and our salvation. Matthew quotes the Old Testament prophets that point to the plan that God has had all along, a plan to save the people. But there are those who would deny Christ and deny Christ for others. That plan is mentioned in Ephesians text. Paul calls God's plan of redemption a plan for the fullness of time. A plan for the fullness of time. It's a plan of God's adoption of us as his children. And as God's children, then we are to have an inheritance from God. A life that is abundant and a life that is eternal. When you think of the humble beginnings of and what come of them, it's truly a miracle that Christianity has survived, lo, these 2,000 years. But truth always seems to have a way of emerging. 12 days after Christmas is Epiphany. That was yesterday. I know you all had Epiphany parties, right? It's not usually a big thing in Protestant churches. The word Epiphany means appearance. It refers to the appearance of the star over Bethlehem, and it refers to the appearance of the Christ child. It refers to the appearance of the shepherds and the king to pay homage to the Christ child. It refers to the appearance of the angels to the shepherds and the angel in the dream to Joseph. Epiphanies provide moments of truth that change us and set us on a right course. It's those aha moments that are helpful in our lives. They are the moments of insight that help us follow that morning star of Jesus Christ. They are what makes us stars in the constellation of the church. And it's always the task of the church to follow Christ while leading others to Christ as well. To let our light shine forth in a world that lives in darkness. And for 2018, I want for us to focus on the star and to seek God's guidance. 2017 brought us certain blessings, and I see potential for even greater blessing in 2018 because it's just the nature of God who created us and loves us and will guide us. And I know that 2017 also brought us challenges. Some of those challenges are a continuation of the economic challenges of previous years, no doubt. But can you count your blessings of 2017? No matter how challenging it was? Do you have the capacity to see God's blessing in your lives, no matter what difficulties, you experienced. As your pastor of 4.5 years, I can see numerous blessings over that period of time. I have found a certain stride within our church community and have the goal of extending our presence beyond the walls of this church. Personally, I'm trying to relate more to our Waterford community, the wider community. We're part of the Waterford Chamber of Commerce now. I've joined the Rotarians. I was a Rotarian years ago, and I'm networking with people who are in leadership in our community. I pray that others will see the constellation that is Waterford Central. There's been a great deal of change over these past years. Our mission statement, our structure for ministry, our staff, our building, all exist as a testimony to change. We had our staff Christmas party this past weekend. We do it late because we're so busy during the Christmas season. And I sat there and I said, you know, if you look around, a third to half of our staff is new in the last year alone. A lot of change. A lot of changes in our building over the past 4 years. And even after 4 years, I'm still referred to as the new pastor. Are you the new pastor at Waterford Central? Just like 3 weeks ago, somebody said, "Oh, are you the new guy there?" It's interesting. And can I be honest with you? It's simply weird, the relationship between a pastor and the church, especially in the United Methodist Church. I know Rich can testify to this, but I mean, think about it. 4.5 years ago, in June, you had one pastor, and 2 weeks later, you had a different pastor. No connection with you whatsoever, and he's the leader now of your church. That's a kind of a weird system. A person who pointed that out to me is a Roman Catholic friend of mine. He says, "That is just plain weird, Jack." I said, "Well, actually, that's kind of the way the Catholic Church works in their appointment system." However, he was kind of coming from a business standpoint and continuity and all those things. But you know, 4.5 years ago, when I walked into those doors as your pastor, I knew a few things to be true. I knew there'd be people here that I would fall in love with almost immediately and develop a deeper love. And I knew that there would be people in this church who would love me and perhaps more importantly would love my family. And there are staff members dedicated to the ministry of the general church. Our location is great. Our building is tremendous and spacious, although she needs a lot of TLC, a lot of tender love and care. We're always working on it. We've hosted programs from our district and our conference. We host a variety of ministries and groups here that utilize our building. We help people with food and gas cards. We provide support for utilities and other financial needs when we're able to. I serve with John Lawrence on the board of the Baldwin Center. We're on that board, and we've been asked to continue our relationship with the Hope Warming Center. Just trying to look at that and see if we can schedule something. Our church is blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And as we follow the star of God's guidance, as we follow that morning star, Jesus the Christ, let me ask something of each of you. Will you be a star? Will you be a star in the constellation that is Waterford Central Church? Will you find a way in which you will let your light shine? You know, Jesus in his sermon called the Sermon on the Mount called his listeners the light of the world. And I believe he calls us the light of the world. And then he says something different. He says, you know, when people light a candle, they don't put it under a bushel basket. They let their light shine. So Jesus asked that we let our light shine so that others may see it, so that they will give glory to your heavenly Father. How will we shine in 2018? How will we shine so that others may know the love and the grace of God through Jesus the Christ? And I know that many feel inadequate, and I know that you want, and I want to share some wisdom that comes from Nelson Mandela. You probably know at least bits and pieces of this quote. Mandela wrote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your plain small doesn't serve the world. That's my favorite part of that quote. Your plain small doesn't serve the world. You're a child of God. He continues, there's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fears, our presence automatically liberates others. So I'm asking you, how will we let our light shine in 2018 so that others would not give us glory, but give glory to our God who's in heaven? In 2018, as the constellation of the church, may we follow the star that is born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. May we follow that morning star, Jesus the Christ. And that's the word of God for the people of God today at Waterford Central. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.